Well, it's nearly Christmas. As you probably know, if you have turned on your TV, and the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl have been reminding us about some fairy tale that happened in New York, or every time you go into a shop like Asda, or Morrison's, or that one where Pastor Ian used to be a manager, it's all about Santa, and it's all about reindeers. So, it is 2 weeks before Christmas. I better put my glasses on, I can't read a thing. So I thought tonight that it'd be a really good idea to look at a few Bible verses that relate to that period in the build-up to the very, very first Easter. Well, you said I'm always different. So I want to look at Luke 17... 11 to 19, Jesus cleanses the 10 lepers on his walk to the cross. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, I've lost where I am already, it's going well. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Raise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." When I thought about using this verse, I thought it was a great time to talk about giving glory to God and selfish, ungrateful attitudes that we hold. And I would imagine that's what most of us think this verse is all about. But when I looked into it, it's so much deeper and holds some really key messages. And those are the ones that I want to look at tonight. To really understand what was going on here, we need to look at the background that these lepers lived in. To be a leper in these days meant so much more than to have a debilitating illness that would eventually consume your body. But it meant that you had to leave your family and everyone you had ever been friends with, leave your job and even leave your hometown. There were no sickness benefits for these boys. You had to live in a camp outside town, and only other lepers for company. You could not approach anyone except others like you, and if anybody came near you, you had to warn them that you were unclean, and they would turn and walk away. A leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any other human, including his own family. The disease was considered so revolting that a leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet of anybody who was standing downwind. What an awful existence. And who would impose such sanctions on an ill man? It may surprise you to find out that God did. God had given the Israelites very specific instructions on how to deal with leprosy and other skin infections in Leviticus 13. Anyone suspected of having this disease had to go to a priest for examination. If found to be infected, the leprous person who has the disease would wear torn cloths and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So the leper then was considered utterly unclean, physically and spiritually. So let's go back to our verse. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voice, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Doesn't it seem a bit strange that 10 lepers didn't ask for healing, but asked for mercy? Why would they do that? Well, leprosy was considered to be a curse from God. And indeed, there was evidence to back it up. God cursed Miriam with leprosy for speaking against Moses. In Numbers 12:1-15, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman who had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous and white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. In Kings 5:27, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and your descendants forever. Then Gehazi went from Elisha's presence and his skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. In Exodus 4, then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand in his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become as white as snow. Now put it back in your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back in his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. So to ask for mercy, they were asking for healing. They recognised that Jesus had the authority to forgive them and restore them, which would of course include healing them. They knew who they were speaking to. It then says, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And again, this is the right thing to do for someone who had recovered from skin disease. The priest would verify the healing and the individual could re-enter society. However, these 10 hadn't been healed. It wasn't until they obeyed what Jesus asked them to do that they were healed. What Jesus told them to do doesn't sound difficult, but it required them to trust Jesus. Under God's law, a leper who thought he was cured would have to go to the priest who would decide if he was. The priest had the power to allow the leper to return to society or once again banish him away from everybody he knew and everybody he loved. So they had asked for mercy, but nothing physical had happened. And then they were told to go and show themselves to the priests. Not one of them said, well, I might just sit here until the healing comes along and then I'll go. Not one of them said, well, we'll wait and see. They all recognised that Jesus had said they should go and that his mercy had been given to them. And they could consider themselves cured despite the lack of evidence. They accepted the healing. And boy, I wish we had faith like that in only healing. God's word says, ask and you shall receive. So once we've asked, we need to believe despite the lack of evidence. We need to trust God and hold him to his word. These 10 did. All were healed when they did what Jesus asked them to do in faith. It continues. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And this is where it gets really interesting for me. I couldn't understand that the other 9 had just walked away. But do we know if they did? To be officially allowed to return to society, a leper had to present himself to the priest, who would say if he was cured and life could return. Now it may be possible that the 9, once reinstated in society, went around and told everybody what Jesus had done. People would know that they were once lepers and were now cured, or were once cursed by God and were now forgiven, Does that sound like anybody you know? So they would ask what had happened, I'd imagine. So they would tell them. They would have gone back to their society and evangelised about what Jesus had done in their lives. And I think we so often try and blame the nine because we think they just walked away. But the tenth leper made an amazing decision. He turned back and fell at Jesus' feet praising God. He did not get a clean bill of health from the priest. He could not return to his village. He could not return to his family. He was still a leper officially, although Jesus had cured him. And even if he had done, he was a Samaritan. To the Jews, he would always be unclean. There was no way back for him. When he was a leper, he was with nine Jewish brothers fighting for existence. But when they were healed, they'd have shunned him. To them who were unclean and were now clean, he would always be unclean. But he knew something bigger had happened, because Jesus had chosen to make him clean too. Jesus had forgiven them all, the Jews and the Gentile. He went back and fell at the feet of the one who cleanses and heals all of us, despite our background, our race, our previous behaviour. And this one leper saw that. He realised that the law had passed and a new covenant had come. A covenant that was for all. And tonight, we need to know what that ex-leper knew. God is there for you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what anyone else thinks of you, and no matter what anyone else says about you. Jesus, God, loves you. Jesus was on his way to that cross for the Jews and the Gentiles, for you and for me. You could tonight cry out, God have mercy on me. But you don't have to. He already sent his son to take your punishment. You're no longer a leper. To God, you don't need to present yourself to a pastor. You don't need to present yourself to Pastor Ian to prove that you are clean. Jesus has already done it. You need to accept it and fall at the feet and give praise to God. You no longer live under the law because Jesus has set you free. And he who is free indeed. So, it is nearly Christmas. And yes, celebrate that birth of a saviour. But rejoice in the death and the resurrection that has given you the freedom and the right to ask, expect and receive all that God has in store for you. Stop living under the law and start living by grace and by faith. Start living in joy, in security and in freedom from all that the world can throw at you. In the words of the Newsboys song, choose life. That's it.
Amen.